In the last little while, we've seen sometimes Jesus being particularly rough and tough with people. And one of the reasons that he's so rough and tough with people is he's the truth. And in his presence, there can be no darkness. This is one of the important principles of John's theology, is that Jesus is the light. And the judgment is simply his presence. That when you are in the presence of Christ, all of the nonsense, the BS, everything about the world just collapses. And very often the reason why people have violent responses against him is their entire network of BS just crumbles. And generally, if any one of you had the experience of calling out a liar, what's the response? Anger. But it's usually not, like, it's more of a pitiful, self-defensive anger. And it's almost like, sometimes in a really sad way, it almost becomes like an animal that just kind of is in a corner and defends itself. And so you can see in a weird way that the person who is standing for the truth can be calm, patient, silent as a lamb, as sometimes the descriptions of Jesus would be, and the people around him have this feeling of like, you're out to get me, you're out to get me, you're out to get me. And this has, in a sense, very often repeated patterns in our own day-to-day life. I have experienced in my own lifetime a number of occasions where people can be incredibly intimidated by somebody, and then an outside observer would be able to kind of go, that person was very gentle with you. The problem's with you. You have the problem. And this is why lies are so destructive, is because they pretend, like all lies do, they pretend to strengthen, they pretend to protect, but in reality, they weaken. Because every time we lie, the truth will be unfurled. There is nothing said in secret, Jesus says in one of the Synoptic Gospels. There is nothing said in secret that will not be shouted from the rooftops. And so it helps us understand why it's so hard for people to truly accept in faith that Christ is there for them. Because to become in contact with him has to basically, we feel all of that repressed and suppressed guilt that we've been avoiding and neglecting for so long, it just starts bubbling up. And the last thing we want to do is deal with it, so we tell Jesus to get lost. Every time we lie, we're telling he who is the truth to beat it. We don't want you around. And the big problem is that very often we develop a kind of acceptance of deceitfulness is because we've met truthful people and they're just as obnoxious. Nathaniel might not have been an easy guy to get along with. Truthful people rarely are. And if a person has no tolerance for BS, they're usually unpopular because they can't figure out subtlety. They can't figure out how to express things in a certain way. Do I look good in this? No. What do you think about my paper? It's terrible. What do you think about me? I think you're a despicable human being and you need to get your act together. Those people don't keep friends and family members for very long. And sadly, in their eyes, they can sometimes start thinking that the truth is a weapon to beat over people's heads. Right? So there's never one starting point that's entirely free from danger. We can either give in to the temptation that lies are acceptable, or we treat the truth as if it's a weapon against people. Neither one of those is the truth who Jesus is. Jesus always is truthful. He never lies. Ever. Sometimes he's silent. Sometimes he doesn't say anything. Sometimes he points out a truth that had been neglected. And this is where we learn that to truly be truthful requires incredible skill. Incredible deftness. And it's not quite a skill Nathaniel has developed by the time he meets Jesus. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Like, that's pretty cynical, you gotta say. And truthful people generally are cynics. They're the type of people that will always say, it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true, and I'm quite happy to say that I fall under that category. When people tell me about all these different things that they think are awesome and lovely, I generally have to suppress an eye roll, generally speaking, because I don't trust things. But I'm wrong a lot. So suppressing the feeling, suppressing the thought, which is also why I find it very providential that Nathaniel is my middle name. So when I read this, I was like, oh snap, I totally get this guy. And this is the difficulty though, is that when you live in a network of lies, it is so hard to believe anything. It's so hard to believe anything. That's why people will say, I believe, but I don't do anything. And for a person like myself, that's just insanity. If you believe something, you drop everything and you go after it. But generally, our culture has become so accepting of lies that you can have a person say, I totally believe something and do nothing about it. And it results in a type of tepidity of faith, a laziness of faith that is very destructive. Where we can just sit on the sidelines and kind of go, yeah, this seems really nice, this is okay, and we don't feel engaged. We don't feel activated. And so Nathaniel is the exact opposite. Jesus has to tone him down. You are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. Jesus is like, dude, seriously? Like, that's it? That's all it took for you? Like, that's not that big of a standard. I saw you under a fig tree. And you now confess that I'm the living God. For many of the other people, it took the collapse of the crucifixion, or it took, you know, a quiet moment in Caesarea Philippi for Matt and Peter to be able to say it. Nathaniel just goes guns blazing because he's finally encountered something true and he's ridiculously excited. And so this is where we can see that God makes us all differently to check each other, to keep each other in a balance. The church needs cynics, but we also need the hopeless romantics. And that's why we're a church. We're not an institution of governmental systems. We're a communion of believers. The cynic has to listen to the romantic just as much as the romantic needs to sit down and listen to the cynic and say, maybe he's not as cute as you think. We need each other so that we understand this balance. And that is even why Jesus gives us 12 apostles that are the foundation of the church's apostolic mission. The church is fundamentally feminine, but these 12 gates, these 12 witnesses of the resurrection, are the ones that go out, and they are not the same men. One's a zealot, willing to destroy the entire world for the purity of Israel, and a tax collector. You have an apostle who used to be a Pharisee that would kill Christians, and then you have another one who is so willing to follow Jesus wherever he goes that he can't think straight. All of these guys are meant to be constructive counterbalances for each other. So I'm going to give you a simple little warning as we go ahead. Don't trust little white lies. Never ever trust them. Don't accept them as compliments necessarily, and please don't think you're helping anybody by giving them. Because in the end, you're only waiting and delaying the tragedy of self-realization. Learn the skill of telling the truth gently. It's very, very much worth it. The second, always be really concerned if you're looking around the parish and everybody thinks and acts the same. If everyone is politically on the left, or if everyone is politically on the right, if everyone agrees, if everyone feels the same way, if everyone kind of has this cultural or social homogeny, I guarantee you we're neglecting the spirit somewhere. There has to be a little bit of conflict in the church. That's why there needs to be mercy. We have to see the world differently because it's not ours, it's his. And how he will save it is not up to us.